Benedict D'Souza, Reel 15.
Perhaps, Mr. D'Souza, you could describe to us how... Mr. D'Souza, can you please describe how serious was this malaria problem in Bahau?
In the initial stages, when I arrived, it was very serious. As I told you, it was virgin soil, just been opened up. Mosquitoes were having a jolly good time there. And we didn't have all the medicine for it. We didn't have the proper nursing facilities. And we had what we call, if my memory is correct, a kind of mosquito called the Mechalitis. Now, I don't know how to spell it. I've forgotten it. Now, that was a very serious one. And it's to harm the person very badly. The other ones that we get every day, nothing much. Having come from a virgin jungle, you see, that's what they found out in Egesimlan and told us. Anyway, a lot of people suffered very badly and many people died in the first 6 months that I was there. As I said, I, of course, attributed to not working, perhaps, and not getting the stamina, because you didn't work, you didn't have the energy to eat, you didn't eat, and of course you couldn't, you know, fight against it. And perhaps there were some people who were just who didn't take the sufficient dosage of whatever was given out, and perhaps their constitution was not good, perhaps. So, because my verdict of it was that you didn't work, you didn't get an appetite, you didn't get appetite, you didn't eat, you can't work, you can't fight against it.
So after they set up this anti-malaria unit, did it improve the...
It did immensely. But again, as I said, there were some stragglers who were left behind, did not, who thought to themselves, well, okay, we got somebody looking after us. They either neglected their own health and the work and exercise and what, the same old thing we go back to, and that ended it, you see. They couldn't fight, and perhaps they were, another thing I forgot, they were poor enough not to get that sufficient nourishment. Maybe. Could be a cause, you know.
Did you have any kind of an anti-malaria campaign organized in Bahau to explain to the settlers how to, you know, keep the place clean and without mosquitoes?
It wasn't a kind of a campaign, like it was word of mouth, more or less. You know, you're supposed to do this, you do that. Bring down your mosquito net as early as possible by 6 o'clock in the evening. It's not our new time. 6 o'clock in the evening, so that when you go in, there won't be any mosquitoes. Keep your area free of as much as you can of any rubbish. And the rest were depending on we people, you see, to go around.
So I assumed your unit did have to manage.
I think so. Now, looking back at it, I think we did quite a good job. And it wasn't a good job as much as a dedicated piece of work. We were out there first thing in the morning and using our overalls left over from the next day. It was very, very cold for the first hour and a half. Then came the heat and we couldn't bear it. And we went through it, stopped, mopped ourselves, drank some water, had a cigarette, back to work. I think I don't need that praise, but I think we did a good job.
So could I say it was under, more or less under control after
we took over?
Yes.
Yes, you can say that. Under control, but then again, there were certain How would I put it now? If someone got into his head to go and dig, you see, where it goes down into a kind of a valley, like, or a dean, that is where you get this people, water, you know, being stagnant. And someone decides to dig up, he wants to do something. Okay, or he's well, maybe not well rigged, you see. And he might give up part of the way and leave it there. And then you get the mosquitoes going there. And they don't tell us. Okay, we can't be... I'll leave it there. RCC meetings and all. So that was the only fear. And if we had heavy downpour rain, then it meant a lot of work for us. We had to go back and look for all the puddles all over again. Okay, you do that area, you do that area, and you come back. And we may miss one or two, could be. Because there's no joke, you know, carrying, going, walking on a path and on the road, the so-called main road, that was okay. But you could miss one or two. I got caught once, I was fined. I was not given rations once because they found maculators in one area, under my area. But then after that, he gave it back to me.
What kind of fine is that?
I didn't get my rations. And I had my pay cut, I think, half of it cut. Until the area was cleared. And of course, he went and found where the spot where we got the maculators. Oiled it as much as we could. And then when he came around again, he comes around every 2 weeks maybe. Have a look at it. Okay, bang. Get your rations now. So it's okay.
There was an inspector.
There was an inspector from NS, you know, from Negri Sembilan.
Was he a Malay?
He was a Malay. Yeah.
He was a Malay.
His name was Syed Ali. Very nice man.
And who actually in charge of the daily administrations in Bahau?
We formed later on a kind of a police post, like, headed by former ASP Mr. F.C. Pastana. And he used to allocate us to do our night duties later on. And this was way after that, you know. And we were called Jigidans. I don't know how you spell it, but it was Jigidan. And say, Oscar and I will do it for 4 hours. And then some other two people will do it for another 4 hours. You see, but we always looked to do the earlier part because of our work. See, unless it was a Sunday, it was different. We had to have our rest, you see, plus our rigors. And well, it wasn't very difficult doing that jigadan. Everybody was peaceful. Play mahjong, that's all. I remember one night I made a terrific amount of money. That's because I didn't want to play. They forced me to play. I played. I said, I got jigidan. Never mind. Come and do. So we played. And I was every kau chong, pow, nearly every round. Blue mahjong? Yeah, I'm talking Greek to you. But anyway, I made a lot of money that night.
So was there a committee to look after the welfare of Bahau and health or whatever problem?
The health part I told you. For the others, yes, we had this Mr. Pastana, and we had a kind of a committee, like if we wanted, which is down there, we wanted to go down to Bahau. If we wanted to go down to Bahau town, we sort of for the past. And it was very simple. They all knew us, they respected us because of our work perhaps. And we used to go down and get our pass and come back, you see. And we couldn't, and we didn't want to overstay that 6:30. There was no lights. We had to trudge 6 miles to town and 6 miles back. And or sometimes we used to ride a bicycle. So we should come back in time, that's all. 6:30 or 7.
And was there a police station right in the settlement?
Well, when we formed this police post, yes. Before that, no. Under Mr. F.C. Pastana.
The police post was under him?
Well, we were all in civvies. We didn't have uniform.
So how big was this?
Well, there was a big building there, fairly big, where we had one room for our lab, you know, our microscope and things like that were there. The health section. And we had this post. We called it the police post. And we even had a little jail there. A lockup. Not a jail, a lockup. Now, one or two chaps a bit rascals, you know. Catholics or otherwise, it's little rascals. Pinch things and all that. Well, it was always, you know, reprimanded and let off. No fine. How to pay? That's that. I mean, it was quite okay.
So how many people were sort of working there as performing their policeman's duty?
I can't remember. But a handful. They were mostly the oldies. I was quite young, you know.
And were they full-time there or just volunteers?
Volunteers. They used to do their bit, you know.
Part-time, you mean?
Well, they had their own roster. That's all. That's all I can remember.
And any Japanese post in Bahau settlement?
No.
See any Malay policemen?
No. Once in a way, a Japanese might come. That's all. But we were not looked upon as prisoners or other prisoners of war. They trusted us. It's okay.
So, generally, how was the law and order like in the settlement?
It was good. It was okay. Except as things were getting out of hand, that's why I suppose they got this kind of police post there under Mr. F.C. Pastana. When they knew he was a terror, he was my classmate, a big maid and all that. So, you know, knowing that's the fear one gets, we got so and so there, we better look after ourselves and look, you know, be more careful. And that's what happened. It was quite okay. One or two riffraffs, you know, you find them all over the world. Apart from that, there was nothing to put in headlines, you know.
But then what kind of authority did this police post have?
From the Japanese government. Being an ex-officer in the police force, of course he was given authority, you run it. You do it the best way you can.
So you mentioned about the health section and now the
law and
police,
order.
Yes. What about other running the daily administrations for the settlement?
No, you do your thing and I do my thing sort of thing. There's nothing to look after except if some food was coming, which I can't remember if they ever did come, or somebody was coming, then we'll be informed. on the top of the hill was the police post and what have you, canteen. Then there was a bell there. In case of anything, if they wanted to call all of us up, is to ring us up.
Say, for example, if somebody had a problem in cultivating their land or had some dispute with the neighbors, where did they normally go to settle such things? Was there an office for people to go and make inquiry, for example?
Police post, it was everything, you see. And there weren't any problems like that. And there was no backbiting. There was no, I scratch your back, you scratch my back sort of thing. You just settled among yourselves. Once we finished our work, just go back home and do whatever we had to do, cook. We talk about something. I used to play my guitar. Or perhaps we go down and talk to somebody else close by, or they may invite us for a talk. And that wasn't, like you find in a kampong, gossip and things like that. If anything at all, you look into the needs of those people. There's one fellow, he's gone to Australia now, Mr. Hilary Don, bidding to get, if he was here, he'd get his report. He's a very nice man, had a good post in Shell, where I was, and he used to go around, find out you don't have any salt. You go home straight away, trot down, trot up. Here you are. It lasts you a year. You don't have any sugar. I can't give you much. I got this. Till your next ration, or till you get your rations, or whatever it is. We helped more than we did any backbiting or gossiping. Maybe one or two obscure ones we never heard of. It was a nice, looking back on it, I see we had a good time. Through hardships.
According to some written sources, they said the settlement was actually in charge by a bishop.
Devals.
Yes. And so I thought that had, the management had something to do with the church.
Initially, yes, they approached the bishop initially, and I never knew. My wife knew about it more than I did, although she didn't go. Mr. Shinozaki, you got his name down somewhere, had can you put it off? So this Mr. Shinozaki went to approach the bishop with another Eurasian lady who agreed that if the Eurasians wanted to go up, they could go up, and he was the one. It came under his thumb, more or less, you see. But he was a sick man. He didn't do much. And there were no other priests down there. Except for nuns, and they couldn't say mass, so we had mass only once a week.
So overall administrations was not actually handled by the church people.
That is correct, unless things went out of hand, which they didn't. No.
So what you had over there was only the bell to sort of
call people,
gather people when necessary.
Yeah.
Other than that, the daily administrations, there was no such office to look after.
No.
It would be very much left to individual.
If we wanted anything, then we used to approach Frank Pastana. F stands for Frank, and things like that, or somebody under him. We knew many other people there, you see. Who, instead of going to you, I go to your henchman. What happens? We want this. How do we go about it, or something? It's very rare and far between. That was all. We wanted to have a dance or something. They will call everybody up, tell them, look, there's going to be a dance, there's going to be a kind of a get together.
So, say for example, if you had any questions that you need people's advice, whom were the people that you normally go to? I mean, not officially.
The people who were there in the first batch, who we sort of looked after the admin part of it, we'll go to them. And one of them, I think, is Mr. George Bogaz's father. And I believe George Bogaz earmarked to be the next president. Father's one of them. Then there was Mr. Trollope. He was the lighthouse keeper. He was something to do with the Port Authority. Then Harbour. And one or two others. I can't remember their name.
So there were no official people as such that people can go to?
It was not such a thing that you'd be there from 9 to 5 sort of thing. They had their own plots to look after, their own health to look after, their own marketing to do. The men had to do the marketing sometimes.
What about Dr. Pegler?
Dr. Pegler used to, I can't remember whether he made it a point to stay there or he used to come up and down, but I know he did cure me, boy, once. I was with a terrible wind, and you know when you get that, is how you get a pain, and nothing could cure you, you see. What could cure us, using the primitive way, was charcoal from the bark of the tree, which was burnt out, you know, after they felled the trees, they cut down the trees. They burnt some of them, and the charcoal was there. We used that to cure our looseness, lausai, and things like that, you see. But wind, no. And he gave us one small little bit, one drop only, that cured me. And I never forget Dr. Pegler for that. And either he didn't charge, or he charged little if you had the money. He's a very nice doctor for that. Who had the money, for crying out loud? Nobody had the money except for we, and that is to go within 2 weeks. He did a very good job. So did Olis.
And in that place, did you organize some activities to sort of, you know, keep up the morale?
Initially, no, because we needed to people to come to us and give us consolation. But later on, we did. We held parties. Doc Olis used to play clarinet, myself on the guitar, and somebody else on the piano. And if that fellow couldn't turn up, the little that I could do on the piano, I did. We had fun that way. We had one or two concerts. I can't remember what they gave the name as, but we had little plays, like you do your bit, I do my bit, and all that. Whether it was acting or singing or dancing, children and all. One of them is staying close by, his brother. Oh, he was there too, my wife's cousin. And yeah, but that was far between. All the men wanted was some hooch. We got some Japanese whiskeys and things like that. And what do you call that Indian drink from the coconut tree? We used to get toddy, and it was a bit difficult, which meant we had to go down to Bahau town, and somebody used to go down, bring back a jar of it, and he used to do something to it that made it very nice. And we used to have a little fun that way. not going home reeling and all that, but just happy enough. It's quite nice.
And any celebration to, say, celebrate Japanese Emperor's birthday or anything to do with this Japanese festival?
No. Now, I can't remember what we had, or did we have anything for Christmas. I really can't remember. This is more than 40 years ago and old.
So, how frequent did the Japanese come to Bahau settlement and sort of look around?
4 months, 5 months, 6 months, I don't know. Even if they did come sometimes, we didn't know they were there. They go around to the admin office, maybe see the bishop or maybe whoever's in charge, and go on. Quite happy with us.
So the bishop had an office?
No, bishop never came out. If he did, he came for a walk and got there. We hardly saw him.
Where was his place?
He was staying in the, what we call the priest's house or the bishop's house. And where we had the nuns and we had mass. It was a big hut built especially for that. But we couldn't go for mass every morning because we were really dog tired. But we made a point to go on Sundays with our best shirt, torn and patched all over. I used to patch my own shirts, and we had only one or two Sunday best. And that was all. We hardly saw him. We only heard the nuns or saw the nuns when we went on our rounds, that's all.
So, how would the people appear like while they were in Bahau? You mentioned about no proper clothing.
When they came up to what? Shall I call it? I don't know what name we gave it. The top of the hill, where the offices were and things like that. They come out clean, most of them, but in some of them torn clothing, but most of them patched or in their best. It could be, I don't know, but we made it a point to go up clean, that's all. Their hair combed, one or two kept a beard. They couldn't have any more blades left.
You mentioned officers on top of the hill.
Yeah.
What type of officers were there?
Admin, and where we had our lab. And, there was a kind of a store like down there. What they stored in, I don't know. I can't remember. And, it was the heart of Bahau village, you know, our town there.
Town center, you
mean? Yeah.
Just before the end of the Japanese occupation, what was the facilities of the Bahau settlement? How well did it develop?
You mean our village?
Yes, right up to the end of the occupation. How well did it develop? In terms of perhaps school, restaurant, shops, what have you?
No, one or two fellas ran a little, well, Mr. Hooden, I don't know where he is now. He ran a little a coffee house, we called it,